I got the idea from this lesson, ironically, from an email that I got. It says, is empathy dying? And I thought, well, that's interesting. I opened it up. And it's educational, trying to get us to teach empathy in schools. And I began to read. There were some alarming things there to find. Not only could it creep in schools, and we need to be teaching young people, it can creep into every one of our lives. It can creep in any organization. So we're going to spend some time looking at empathy today and what the Bible says about empathy. You know, the recent study I said was a recent study at the University of Michigan found that empathetic skills in college students had declined as much as 48% over the last 8 years. Two reasons cited were the less face-to-face communication, and mobile devices are taking over actual human interactions. Now, this is alarming because, again, it could creep into any organization we have. It can creep into our lives. My observance, you know, we tend to say it's the problem of the young and these kids and cell phones. I hear that all the time. And the social media, but the truth is it's growing in society at a rapid pace. It's part of my life more than I would ever say. So this is something that I think is important that we watch and guard against, because the human interaction and care for one another is very important in our lives. Start with a definition. You know, empathy, I thought of sympathy. We have several examples in the Bible which empathy was shown. Compassion and sympathy and empathy all have to do with caring for one another, for another person because of their suffering. And we read here the definition, the ability to understand and share the feeling of another. You know, empathy is different than sympathy, that you're actually participating in the suffering of another. You actually feel. Sympathy, you feel sorry for, but empathy, you're actually feeling what that person's feeling. I didn't really understand this, and I had, when the kids, Kenan was about 5 and Langston's 3, I got a good lesson taught to me. We were, you know, in school, when new people checked their kids in, I was a principal and I would talk, and they were always nervous to send them to school. I'd hear about when they were checking them in pre-K. Man, I just hate this, just nervous. I hope everything goes okay, or is their day going to go well? And the whole time I'm thinking, man, what do they think we are? I'm not going to hurt kids. We're not going to hurt kids. What's the problem? Do I look that bad? And, you know, and I had, and Kenan, we checked her in school, and everything went fine. She was smiling. I was smiling. Mom was smiling. She went to school and wanted to go to school. And her grandmother was smiling because she just had one at the house then. And I thought, man, that wasn't hard. What's people's problem? So later that year, we go skiing. And I'm a little older and hadn't been skiing at this time in about 19 years. A lot older and a lot heavier. And I didn't know if I could ski or teach the kids to ski. We're just going to go try it. So I go check them in ski school. We drop them off, and Langston can't even put his gloves on. I mean, he's 3, fixing to be 4. And we drop them off, and we ask, do we need to bring them lunch? No, we take care of that. Well, where can we be to watch? Say, y'all don't need to watch. Y'all need to leave. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I don't want to leave. You know, I don't know these people. We're walking out the door, and I said, Shona, is this a good idea? She goes, I don't know. I said, I don't know about this, and it just hit me right in the head. That's exactly how people feel when they check their kids in school and leave them in our care. You know, it didn't affect me because my daughter, we're both there. It's part of us, but when we entrusted them, which they were good people, they treated them fine. It hit me like a ton of bricks. So the next time a person came in, her mother, nervous about her, I was very empathetic to their feelings, because I knew. And you know, from then on, after that time, things went well, and then they seemed more, well, at least he knows how I feel, instead of, I'd become hardened, and I didn't realize it, but that's my story. That taught me a pretty good lesson on that. We actually feel what the other person feels when we're empathetic to them. We read in Romans 12 and 15, empathy can help us respond to different emotions that people may have, others may have. We say 12 and 15 says, rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. When we can celebrate an accomplishment of someone else and have true joy in our heart, or weep and feel the pain when others are in pain, we have empathy for them. And when we share that emotion, we become closer. Something bonds you together a little bit more when you share those emotions. And that way you can go to them and they can come to you, you can go to them, and you can help each other through anything. Empathy is very important. When I was looking at this, it reminded me of a story I read about a girl in a bike. The mother had dinner ready, her supper, dinner, I'd call it supper, and the girl wasn't there. She was supposed to be there at a certain time, didn't show up. Mother gets kind of worried, and worried turns into a little bit agitated. The girl walks in. Where have you been? You're supposed to be here at a certain time. And little girl said, oh, I was helping my friend. She had a bike wreck, and their bike's broke. So, well, you don't know, have any tools or know how to fix a bike. So I was helping her cry. You know, she felt what that other girl felt. She stopped to help her cry. When Shona was looking over the lesson, I said, I got a lot of examples. She said, you don't need another one, because she agreed. But I'm going to give one. When Kenan was little, we'd go to a place and eat. And she could be happy and everything going fine. She heard another baby crying. She'd cry at the top of her lungs and you couldn't shut her up. We can learn things from children at times, can't we? This little girl felt what her friend felt, so she stopped to help her cry. You know, when we see others like that are going through hard times, we need to stop and help them out and even rejoice with them when they're in happy times. It's not fun to celebrate by yourself. When you see somebody celebrating and have something good, celebrate with them with joy in your heart for them. Empathy will help unify us as Christians, 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. As Christians, sometimes we can't always have exactly the same mind, yet we should have compassion for one another and love each other as brethren. If we desire to live in comfortably on earth and possess eternal life in heaven, we must be compassionate to one another. We must keep evil actions far from us and do all the good we can and seek peace with all men. We need to be able to work out differences in a Christian way, and we need to have empathy for everyone, not just people we like. You know, this story came across, and I've got it up on the front from a book on All Quiet on the Western Front. It tells of an encounter between two enemy soldiers during the Second World War. During the battle, a German soldier took shelter in a crater made by artillery shells. Looking around, he saw a man wounded, an enemy soldier. He was dying. The German soldier's heart went out to him. He ate water from his canteen and listened to as the dying man spoke of his wife and family. The German helped him find his wallet, take out the pictures of his family, and look at it one last time. In that encounter, these two men ceased to be enemies. The German had seen the wounded soldier in a new way, not as an enemy combatant, but as a father, a husband, someone who loves and is loved, someone just like him. This is always the path of peace and reconciliation, learning to truly see the other in them and recognizing someone just like yourself. You know, when somebody's in need, even if you've had differences, we need to be at their side. Because the truth is, as hard as it's for us to accept, sometimes we're not perfect. We can't get through this life if it wasn't for Jesus and his sacrifice for us on the cross. We wouldn't have a chance at eternal home in heaven. And he did that for us. And when we see someone suffering, enemy, friend, or whatever alike, we need to put differences aside and thoughts aside and go try to help them through whatever. Help them in every step of the way. Teach them and help them get to their eternal home. You know, empathy, we can imitate Jesus at Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we were, yet without sin. Our Savior Jesus came and lived on earth, experienced challenges that we face today, experienced emotions that we experience, and he lived without sin. He showed empathy, love, compassion, and forgiveness. And as Christians, we are to do our best to follow this example. We read that where Jesus felt the mother's pain in Luke 7:11-16, and it came to pass a day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And he came to, and there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and God hath visited his people. When the Lord saw this poor widow following her son to the grave, he had compassion on her. Christ showed his power over death itself in this case. We have a chance for eternal life because of the sacrifice of Jesus. We need to have compassion on others like our Savior, that we may look forward with joy to that eternal home and peace. Empathy helps us bear each other's burdens. We read this in 1 Peter 4:9-10. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift. Even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We also read this, Galatians 6:2-3, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We read here that we are to bear each other's burdens, and having empathy for one another will help us do this. I have a hard time sometimes knowing what to say in times of sorrow. We recently had a teacher lose a husband, and two daughters, seventh grade daughters, lose a dad. I got notification, so I'm sitting there trying to talk myself out of not going, I hate to say, because I didn't know what to say. What do you say? But I said, Shona, let's go. When we went by, and she was still at the hospital, gave her a hug and gave the kids a hug and told them we loved them, and that was about all the conversation. The next day, I'm sitting in the office, secretary comes in, and we're talking back and forth, and telling about that, and I said, I just didn't know what to do. I don't know how to help them. And sure enough, about all 3 years ago, she lost her husband in an accident. And I told her what I'd done, and she said, that's exactly what they needed. They needed somebody to be there, hug them, and let them feel love. They just needed somebody there. She said, when I lost my husband, that's what I remember. I don't remember words said. I don't remember things done. I just remembered people were there. You know, when people are down and having trouble just being there, that's not too much to ask. And it's terrible that I said I was trying to find a way out of this. But we never should look for a way out. We should go help each other through and have empathy on them and help them through their time in need, as we read here in the Bible. Empathy helps us love the neighbor. Love thy neighbor. We read Matthew 22:34-40. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. When we have empathy for each other, that connection grows. And this commandment to love thy neighbor is a lot easier when we go through situations with them and understand and try to help them through situations and they help us. So having empathy can help us fulfill this commandment. Empathy helps us reach out to others in need. Hebrews 13:3, remember them, they're in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, and being yourselves also in the body. You know, I found this story about reaching out to those in need. And I put it up here because I couldn't remember it all. I'm afraid I'd paraphrase it to death. So while walking home from school, a boy named Mark noticed a boy ahead of him had stumbled to the ground and dropped everything he was carrying. Mark hurried to the boy's side and helped him collect his belongings. Surprisingly, the boy was carrying an especially hefty load. There was a baseball glove, a bat, a couple sweaters, a small tape recorder, and an armful of books. Mark helped him carry his things home, and his new friend Bill was most appreciative of his compassion. During the walk home, Mark discovered Bill was struggling in school and had just broken up with his girlfriend. When they arrived at Bill's house, he invited Mark in for a Coke, and they spent the rest of the afternoon talking, laughing, and watching TV. Although the two boys never became real close friends, they kept up with each other and throughout the rest of their junior high and high school. Several weeks before graduation, Bill approached Mark and asked him if he remembered that day they met when Mark helped him with all of his stuff. Mark nodded as he remembered. Bill then asked, "Did you ever wonder why I was carrying so many things that day?" Without pausing for an answer, Bill explained. He cleaned out his locker and he was going to go home to take his life. He had been storing away sleeping pills and was headed home to end it all when Mark happened along to help him out. Bill told Mark how simple act of compassion inspired him to go on living. He said, "Mark, when you picked up my books that day, you saved my life." Imagine how many times our small, seemingly insignificant gestures of concern may reignite the flame of life and inspire someone to continue on. We never know when any act is going to change a life forever, how it's going to affect someone physically, spiritually. We need to look for opportunities to help someone and try to understand their personal needs and help them through. We don't need to let what we hear in the world and the media and things that are going on get us down and not search for ways to serve the Lord and tell the story. We never know when we're going to come across and have that time of influence with somebody's life to help them either physically or spiritually. And we need to look for that. And we need to follow Jesus' example and have empathy for others and reach out to others in need. You know, we have to learn empathy. It's taught through our experiences, taught by things we do, taught by parents, taught by other Christians. We have to learn this. And it's a learned behavior. I found that you have to practice it from time to time or you start forgetting. And even though we have it learned, we have to be reminded. I was about 5 weeks into my teaching career a long time ago. And this is another dad story. Y'all know my dad didn't go to school or anything, but I felt like he's fairly wise. I was sitting there and I guess I was being real negative. I find it hard to believe, but I probably was. And I was talking about kids. They just don't care. They're not ready. They're not doing this. Probably the same thing they said about me years ago going through this. And my dad, he didn't say much. He just let me talk. And he finally said, "Son," and he called this boy's name. He said, "That boy gets up, gets himself out of bed, gets his brothers ready for school, gets on a bus at 7 o'clock and is there ready to go." He said, "When you was his age, your mama get you up once, go back in and get you up again, and go back in, get you up again, feed you breakfast, and you still had troubles." He said, "You need to understand who you're trying to teach and understand what they're going through before you can teach them." You know, there's a lot of truth to that. You know, when I started putting this together, empathy doesn't mean we change our ideals or what we believe. It doesn't believe that. It means we try to understand where that person's at in their life, guide them and lead them to the path, to a path of righteousness. That's what it means. But if we're just going to say, you're different than me, I'm not going to listen to you, we're not going to grow. We're not going to get anywhere. You know, we have to know who we're trying to teach and lead. We have to know and we have to try to understand before we can teach and lead them. I didn't write down the quote, but when in this study I saw a quote that said, "Nobody cares what you know till they know you care." We need to have empathy for one another. We need to try to understand where people are coming from and the struggles they're having, not judge them. We need to help them and not change our beliefs, but we need to teach them what's in the Bible and serve God the way that He would want us to serve.